All right, so yesterday we left off discussing the issue of whether we go Batami Karaz Linon, right, that we go after where the generation of the problem is from the animal, and therefore it's Gufe, and it would be Nezek Shalim, or do we go Batar Tav Barmana, right, do we go after when the actual item is destroyed, which is done through Kofo, and that would only be Tzorot, and it would be Chatzi Nezek. So the Gemara says, well, let's answer that up from Rabba's position. Right, because Rabbi has a position, if you threw something off a roof, and then someone else came along and broke it before it hits the ground, that is patur, because it's a manotavar shavar, right, that he broke something that was already broken. Gemara says, it's true, Rabbi, for him it's simple, pretty straightforward. But now the question is for Rabbi. So then the Gemara tries to answer it up from a zero or a machlokas between two brisos. One brisa says that hidus, dancing of a chicken, is mu'ad, one said that it's not mu'ad. Gemara tried to suggest that maybe that's the exact difference. It must be a case where it was hidus to hitis, a case where he's dancing and kicked up something that did damage. And the mechos between the two brides, so it would be whether it's batar mikara is lino and a batar mono is lino. So we do it after when the chicken kicked it up, and that's gufo. Or we go after the actual damage, which is kofo on pitoros. Gemara rejects it and says, no, that's really a machloket sumchus in rabbana. Now the top of Yudchedam and Aleph, Gemara tries to bring another proof. Tashma. We said before that they were pecking away at the string that was attached to a bucket. The string becomes undone, detached, right? And because of that, the bucket breaks. There we pay full nezek, which suggests that what? Sounds like we go after mi'ikara, meaning that it was there pecking on the string. Right, that did it, that's called gufe. Even though the string then affected the bucket, which then fell down and broke, right, we don't say that's considered koko. We say in the center that's batar mikara, when they actually attach the string. Gemara says, targama achevel. No, the nezek shalem is not on the bucket, that is on the string itself that they're chayo, nezek shalem. Gemara says, achevel mishunahu. Right, what do you mean? How could you make it nezek shalem on a chevel? Even if it pecked away at a chevel, that's not the normal behavior, right, of a tarnagol. That's not normal behavior. A tarnagol goes into the category of keren. Karen, you pay chatzi nezek. So what type of nezek shalem? Right, obviously we're talking about the bucket and not the chevel. Gemara says, no, the mos belisha. This is an unusual string. The string was covered in dough. Since the string was covered in dough, that would not be considered mishun. That a tarnagolim would packet such a thing. Well, doesn't it say explicitly that the dli broke? Why is the dli breaking relevant if you're just talking about the chevel? Ela sumkusi. Now that the author of that position is sumchus damar tzroros nezek shalem mishalem, right? That it's sumchus. So that the fact that you're paying nezek shalem here is no raya that it's gufo, but their gufo is leaning rather than but their mono that it's tzroros, because we have sumchus who says even in tzroros you pay nezek shalem. So sumchus will be the author of this bright zone, and there won't be any proof to us. But it says he sumchus im a seifa. If sumchus is the author of this bright zone, then what are you going to do with the latter half of this bright zone? Nitaz mimenu shever. It shot out from the bucket a shard, and then it fell into another kli, b'shavra, and broke it. Ala rishon mishalem nezek shalem, ve'ala acharon mishalem chatzi nezek. On the first one you pay full nezek. On the second bucket you pay chatzi nezek. V'sumchus mi'itlei chatzi nezek. How do you ever get the chatzi nezek? Sumchus says, tzroros are always nezek shalem. Z'chiteima shani le the sumchus ben nezek kocho, the koach kocho. Maybe even sumchus differentiates between what's considered direct koach, your something that's a derivative of your goof, versus something that's a derivative of your goof, meaning that koach koko. So if it comes directly as a result of your goof, there's some sort of force that's unleashed, yes, that you'll be nezek shalem. But if that force that's unleashed then again unleashes a secondary force, then you only be chayiv chatzi nezek. V'halo d'bayi Rav Ashi. Well, if that's the case, Rav Ashi had exactly this question. Koach kocho de sumchus, kokocho dami, olav kokocho dami. That's exactly Rav Ashi's question. Well, if sumchus is the author of this braisa, then we have an answer to our question. That koach kocho is chatzi nezek, according to sumchus. Tifshit lay the lav kokocho dami. That we can prove from this, that it doesn't have a din like kocho. Gemara says, well, since that's not the case, since this braisa was not approved to, or we didn't answer Rav Ashi's question in this manner, Elalav, it must be Rabbonon. He can't be sumchus as the author of this bright, but rather Rabbonon. So Shema Mina, again, now we're back to the conclusion that Botar Mi'ikara Azlinon. Right, that we go after Mi'ikara, because if we have now a Brisa that is not Sumchus, which is the Rabbanon, that talks about Swaruf, and nevertheless, when the chicken pecks at the string, and then it hurts the mana that breaks afterwards, it falls and breaks, that is considered Batar Mikar, so then we can still get Guf A, and he pays Nezek Shalem. Now, Amar Bibi Barbaye, the Ka'azal Minei, no, maybe that doesn't have to be the conclusion, right, that the actual problem was caused by the fact that even though the chicken itself was pecking at the string, but while it's pecking at the string, its body is also bumping into the leaf. Meaning that the goof of the chicken tends to have interactions with the bucket, not just with the leaf, and that's why it's considered goofe, and from here you can't prove anything. Okay, so now, so that leaves it inconclusive, whether you go butter mikar aslin or right, butter goofe aslin, I mean butter money tavar mono aslinas, because we can't prove anything from the Braisa, right? We thought we had the conclusion from the Braisa, and then Rabbi Bibi comes along and says, no, maybe that's not so conclusive, because the way chickens interact with picking at the string, they also bump the bucket, and therefore it's a direct gufe. We're not even asking about Koko being gufe. Right? By Rabba, Chati Nezek Zrot, Mi Gufo Mishalim, O Mi Aliyah Mishalim. It's a basic question, right? When you pay Chati Nezek Mitzvah, is that something that gets paid me aliyah? Does that get paid from your, you know, net worth, your estate, irrespective of the damage done or who did the damage? Or is it mikufo? It's only from the right value of the one who did the damage. So gufo mishalem, dulo ashkachan chati nezek mishalem me aliyah. But we have no other paradigm where you pay chati nezek me aliyah. Because the only other case of chati nezek we have is in Tam. And Tam pays me gufo. So if that's it, the paradigm of Chatzin Ezek is Mikufo, so too by Chatzin Ezek Tzoros. Dilma Aliyah Mishalem, to Ashkan Keorchet Mishalem Mikufet. Or the other way around. The only time that we found Mikufo is when it's something that's Mishunet. Over here, this is not Mishunet. It's a total of Regel because it's Keorchet. The total of Regel Keorchet, we don't find anywhere where Keorchet pays Min Hagut. Always pays Min Aliyah. The Agmar says, Tashma, let's use these words again. Hidud, Enum Muad, Veshomrim, or Zem Muad. Two brightos that disagree about whether the dancing of a chicken is considered mu'ad or not. The Gemara says, Hidus al kadaf. Well, again, the Gemara has the same question we had at the end of yesterday's daf. Well, Hidus, what are you talking about? Hidus. Hidus is the normal thing that a carnival does. It jumps around. Elav Hidus vihitis. Case where it's dancing and it kicks something up. Bahaka miflegay. This is the machlokus between these brightos. Mandamra eno mu'ad kasavra gufo mishalim. One who says it's not a mu'ad thinks that you pay out of the goof. Right, they both agree that you pay chati nezek because it's tzoros, chati nezek tzoros. But the only question is, do you pay me gufo or me aliyah? And that's the difference between being a mu'ad and an ein mu'ad. Right, mu'ad tells us that it's like regel, ki orche, and you pay me aliyah. And ein mu'ad is, it means that it's similar to Karen, like a tam, and you only pay me gufo. So when it says, well, same thing, the way we answered it up this bright, yesterday's daf, but look at the simchus rabbanukim, it's like, no. Machlokas simply here is tzoros. It's tzoros, and whether you pay nezek shalem or chati nezek. According to Sumchos, it's mu'ad, you pay nezek shalem. According to Chomer, it's enum mu'ad, you pay chati nezek. Tashma, another possibility is what? Akele v'shinoto chorra. V'holach, the gadish. So a dog that takes a loaf of bread that's been turned into like a coal almost, that's been burnt up to a crisp, right, and then he takes it over to a pile of right, hay or wheat or some sort of grain, and he eats the burnt bread, right? He gets a gadish. In the meantime, while he's eating that bread, he sets the gadish on fire. So on the bread, on the burnt, the burnt bread, that he pays nezek shalem because that's not unusual. You'd expect a dog to eat that type of bread. Well, gadish mishalem chati nezek. On the gadish, he pays chati nezek. Why? Because it's only kocho. I mean, he didn't do anything. He dropped the fire onto the gadish. But then the gadish caught fire afterwards, so he didn't do that directly. My time. La mishum dagelu tzoros. Why is the gadish only chati nezek? Because it is tzoros. V'tani Allah, on that brace itself, we say, mishalem chati nezek migufo. And he pays half migufo. So here you go. You have a case where a brace explicitly says you're paying chati nezek of tzoros, and it's migufo. So that would be a proof that pays chati nezek of tzoros is paid migufo. Mar says, v'tisbro. Does that really make sense? Why? Because in that brace, there's a machlokas, and there is another opinion, there's another Tana who says, that his name is Rabbi Elazar says that you pay Nezek Shalem. So now, how are you going to explain this? The tith brother of Elazar, Nezek Shalem, Migupay, Miashkochon? How could you have such, based on this, if you say that it's, the Gadish is Chatzi Nezek, according to the Chachamim, and then Rabbi Elazar comes and argues, no, it's Nezek Shalem, and then on that, we modify the Brisa says that everybody agrees and it pays Migupo. So if you say it's Chatzi Nezek, and you say he pays Migupo, that I can understand, that I can explain. But according to Rabbi Elazar, who thinks that Nezek Shalem, how could you ever have a case where it's paying me gufo? What tzad do you have to say that he should pay me gufo when he's paying nezek shalem? So if that's the case, you can't. That makes you can't explain the brisa in that manner. Ella, now Ella, kagon deshani b'ha b'gechelis. Right, it must be that he did something unusual. Right, that there was some shinui with the gechelis. So now, if you have a shinui b'gechelis, it turns it into keren. Now, how are we explaining that? The harara that he eats is nezek shalem because that was shame. The gadish they lit on fire, somehow he got the coal on there in an unusual manner, or he did some sort of shinoi, and that makes it into keren. So why are you saying chatz nezek on the gadish? Because it is keren. If it's keren, now I can explain why you're paying me gufo. Why? Because it's tam, paying chatz nezek mi gufo. How are you going to explain Rabbi Elazar still? Rabbi Elazar says nezek shalem. So how are you going to explain that? Gemara says, well, he, Rabbi Elazar, served like Rabbi Tarfon. Rabbi Elazar is the host like Rabbi Tarfon. What's Rabbi Tarfon's position? That's what? Only Tam Birshuta Rabbin pays Chatzi Nezek, but Tam Birshuta Nizak pays Nezek Shalem. Damar, Mishuna Karen, Bechatzi Nizak, Nezek Shalem, Mishalem. Gemara says, Lovely, that doesn't have to be the case. Not necessarily the truth. Why? My time will move well to Rabbi Tarfon. Why are you setting up that Rabbi Elazar has to hold like Rabbi Tarfon? Mishum Nezek Shalem. Because he's saying Nezek Shalem. So now what? Rabbi Elazar, Sever Kesumchus. Why didn't you just say Rabbi Elazar holds like Sumchus? Meaning that you have Tzoros here, which creates the Gadish that's burnt down. And then you have the Chatzi Nezek Tzoros. Now you have Chatzi Nezek Tzoros, that's according to Rabbanan. But according to Sumchus, you still pay Nezek Shalem. So Rabbi Tarfon will just hold like Sumchus. Amar Tzoros, Nezek Shalem, Shalem. Vit Sever Lo Ki Rabbi Yehuda. And he also holds like Rabbi Yehuda, the Amar San Tamud, Bim Koma Umedet. The position later on, that Rabbi Yehuda, the Machlokes in Rabbi Yehuda, and the Chachamim, that what happens when a Tam graduates to be a Mu'ad? Right? Is a Tam that graduates to be a Mu'ad is a totally different category. And therefore, when you come to pay for the Mu'ad, you pay Nezek Shalem Min Ha'aliyah, everything, the whole Nezek Shalem from the Mu'ad Min Ha'aliyah, or is Mu'ad really a Tam plus? Is Mu'ad a Tam plus? Meaning that you have to pay Chatzi Nezek Migufo, and then in addition to that, you have to pay Chatzi Nezek Min Ha'aliyah. Meaning that when you get to Mu'ad, is Mu'ad just taking Tam and adding on the additional Chatzi Nezek? Or is it a totally new category where you're paying Nezek Shalem? So Rabbi Yehuda is the belief that when you go graduate from Chatzi Nezek to Nezek Shalem, that the Tam stays in place, that there's a chelik of it that still remains as a quote-unquote Tam, and you pay Chatzi Nezek Migufo. That's what the Gemara is suggesting over here. That Rabbi Elazar is going to hold like Sumchus. So by holding like Sumchus, you're going to pay Nezek Shalem for Tzoros. But Rabbi Elazar's understanding of Sumchus, right, is going to be based on Rabbi Yehuda. That the Tzad Tamud from Komo Amedet, that the Tzad of the Tam is going to stay in place. That Tzad Tam is going to stay in place. That part of the Nezek that you're paying is Mi Gufo. So if that's the case, now we can understand the Braisa. Right, the Brisa says, I bring a burnt piece of bread that lights on fire the Gadish. On the bread, I'm chayav Nezek Shalem, because that's shame. On the Gadish, I'm chayav what? Depends. It's Tzoros. According to the Chachamim, I'm chayav Chatzi Nezek. According to Rabbi Elazar, I'm chayav Nezek Shalem, because he holds like Sumchus. Now, why does the Brisa say that you pay me Gufo? According to the Chachamim, that's fine, because they're paying Chatzi Nezek Tzoros, so maybe that's why they're paying me Gufo. But according to Rabbi Elazar says, you're paying Nezek Shalem, why are you paying me Gufo? Because he believes that it's like Rabbi Yehuda Tzad Tamud Bim Komal Medit, that the Nezek Shalem is really built up of two Chatzi Nezek. So now, the Gemara says, the Chitani Mi Gufo Tzad Tamud. Right, when it says Mi Gufo, it means on the half that is the Tzad Tam to it. So what you should ask me, which is exactly what the Gemara is going to ask right now, where was their Tam here at all? I mean, according to Rabbi Yehuda, he's talking about a case of Karen. Case of Karen, you had a Tam that turned into a Mu'ad. So your Chatzi Nezek turned into Nezek Shalem. According to Sumchus, when was there ever any Chatzi Nezek here? According to Sumchus, Chatzi Nezek Tzoros doesn't exist. Tzoros is always Nezek Shalem. As Rav Tamo, Reid, Rav Ashi, Rav Ina, Imor, the Shemai, say the Rav Yehuda, the Tam, Vena'at, and Mu'ad. Mu'ad mitzchilato, when you're talking about Mu'ad mitzchilato, Mishmaile. Right? So what, did you ever hear of such a thing? Right? It was Muad Mitchilato. So that doesn't make sense. You cannot explain the Braisa in this manner. So now, you have to explain the Braisa.
Sorry, it would be the jam.
Muad is just a tampas. That's basically what it means. It means the other additional Chati Nezek is what the Torah is addressing. The first Chati Nezek, you're chai because of tam. And then when you get to Muad, you're just chai for the other Chati Nezek. So the first Chati Nezek remains Migufo. The second Chati Nezek is paid in Haliyah, because that's the only addition that Muad adds. Muad doesn't recreate a whole Nezek Shalem, it just adds a second Chati Nezek. But now, the Girsa here, okay, is somewhat questionable. And this is what becomes, because Gemara becomes very, very difficult now. Happens to be my focus, Rashi and Tosfos, about the Girsa as we move forward here. Alright, and then Rashi himself brings the Girsa of Tosfos. Alright, I'll read it to you, we'll read it both ways. We'll just try to understand it. It's difficult, so we just have to stay with the Gemara here. Now, the Gemara comes up and says, Elakita Amar Rabbi Lazar, Nezek Shalem. When Rabbi Lazar says Nezek Shalem, it's Kigon the Ayek. It's a case where it became a Mu'ad. So what does that mean when it became a Mu'ad?
So we were treating when we don't take Sophos and we don't go according to Sophos.
I don't know. So far, the Gemara, we don't know what's going on right now. All right. So the Gemara says, I don't have an explanation for this right, so according to Rabbi Lazar. Since I don't have an explanation for this right, according to Rabbi Lazar, I've got to try other ways to explain it that doesn't make it into a proof that Chati Nezek is paid me gufo, necessarily. Alright, so now, or it does make it a proof, but I still have to explain this braisa. I have to explain how this braisa makes any sense. So now, the Gemara says, okay, the case is where it's Rabbi Elazar playing Nezek Shalem, Kigon Diayit. Now, what does that mean, Kigon Diayit? Rashi's Girsa, the way Tosfos quotes it, and Rashi also has a Lishna here, there's actually, no, it's a case Kigon, right, the Shani Diayit. He did a Shinoi, and then was made into a Muad. That's Rashi's Girsa. Tosfos's Girsa is simply like this, Kigon Diayit. Now the difference between them will be simply that the way Tosfos was learning is that Chati, the question here of the Gemara, or the Gemara's assumption at this point, is that Chati Nezek Tzroros could actually turn into Nezek Shalem. That if he did Chati Nezek Tzroros three times, on the fourth time, that would no longer be Chati Nezek. Tzroros would turn into Nezek Shalem. And that's what the Gemara is saying over here. Kegamar was a Nezek Shalem Kon Diayi. It's a case where he became a Muad for Tzroros. Became a Muad for Tzroros, he pays Nezek Shalem. That's what he's saying. Rashi says, and Rashi's basic question here has to do with the fact that what's the definition of tzoros? The definition of tzoros being a toldo regel is kior chay. That means that it's normal. So how could you say that there's such a case where mali pam rishon, mali pam revi'i, it's kior chay? Well, how do you become a muad for something? Muad for something indicates that beforehand it wasn't normal or wasn't supposed to be, and then you change your status. You became a muad for something, then you became normal to this. But if it's normal from day one, how do you become normal after three times? It was always normal. That's Rashi's basic claim of why it can't be just that you're Yayay Chati Nezek Tzroros. Tosfos says about that. He doesn't think it's such a big question because he says they're just using paradigms. In that you have a paradigm of Chati Nezek, and since we have paradigms of Chati Nezek where they can, after a certain number of times, turn into Nezek Shalem, same thing here, not because you're changing from the Urchei aspect of it. Right now, the other question, or the other support for Rashi's position, is the question on tomorrow. It's the first question on tomorrow's daf, which is there. Rav Ashi wants to know. Rashi wants to know what happens if there's a shinoi in tzoros. If there's a shinoi in tzoros, does that become like Karen or not? What would that mean? If you have a shinoi, if you do tzoros in an unusual manner,
is that
right?
Inherently
kind of,
is that
right. So what?
Yeah.
Right, so if you have a shinoi in koko, basically, which would be, right, shinoi in koko, then it's Karen. But what would you pay? Vashtis, do you pay chati nezek like Karen? Or do you pay quarter nezek because it's a derivative of tzoros? I mean, that's Rav Ashi's question. And the Gemara
of
chati nezek. Chati nezek of chati nezek. So it would be revius nezek. So because of this Rav Ashi. Right. Alright, so we don't, right, obviously these are tomorrow's daf, but I'm just saying, because Rav Ashi asked this question, you know what the Gemara brings, Rava, when a second is going to appear in our Gemara as a proof, or as a, so Rav Ashi's question means that Rava is clearly addressing a case where there's Shinoi in Muad, and Rava is going to appear in our Gemara in 1 second. That's Rashi's two proofs, what we're talking about here. So now, either we have to read it, we can read it, and we'll pick one way or another first. Let's pick Rashi, we'll read it first. As what is the case of Kigon de Shinoi, there was a change in the Tzarot, Diyayed, and then it was three times and it became Muad. So what does that do? That helps you, right? That helps you now with...
And Karen.
And Karen, or a derivative of Karen somehow. So Baha Kamiflege, this is what Rabbi and the Chachamim argue about. Marsavar Yish Hadol Tzarot. Marsavar Ein Adav Tzarot. This is their basic makokas. Can you become a Muad in a Tzarot? Right, so now, according to Tosfos, that just simply means, after three times, does Tzoros come to Nezek Shalem or not? And that will be their Machlokas. Rabbi Elazar believes it does become to Nezek Shalem, and the Chachamim believe, no, that it doesn't become Nezek Shalem. According to Rashi, it's a case of Shinoi B'Tzoros. Right? Shinoi B'Tzoros. The question is now, after three times, and Shinoi B'Tzoros, does it go back to being, right, regular Tzoros? Right? Does it go back? Now, Tosfos' biggest claim here against Rashi is then, what are you going
to
have now? Let's go. Well, it'll either remain Nezek Shalem or it'll go back. So that's the question here. Now, when you have a Shinoi in Tzoros, right, what are you paying over here? So if you believe, like Rabashi later on, that Shinoi B'Tzoros generates a quarter Nezek, right? Now, listen, if you have a quarter Nezek from Shinoi in Tzoros, then according to Rabbi Lazar, what's going to happen after you do it three times? You're going to move from a quarter Nezek to Nezek Shalem. Right? You're going to jump from Shinoi B'Tzoros, which pays only a quarter Nezek, to what Rabbi Elazar believes in our price over here is that he's going to get Nezek Shalem. So Tosfos says that makes no sense. How could you move from a quarter Nezek all the way up to a Nezek Shalem? It has to be that you're starting with Chati Nezek, and Rabbi Elazar believes you jump from Chati Nezek to Nezek Shalem, and the Chachamim say no, that there's no change.
According
to Rashi. I'm going to
Rashi.
Yeah.
Right, so from the beginning, it's quarter.
At least according to one side of Rabashi. I'm not saying it's not, that doesn't happen to you, but according to that side, it would go from being a quarter Nezek all the way up to Nezek Shalem for Rabbi Elazar, which seems drastic change. How do you get from quarter Nezek all the way to Nezek Shalem? So that's Tosfos's claim against Rashi. So now, because of that, each one goes. There are weaknesses in both Pshatim here. You can see that Tosfos in the end has to say, listen, that the question of Rabbi later on, which says, is there Muad? The Tzoros and that, he means, is there Muad when there's a Shinoi? And is there Muad when there is no Shinoi? He's saying Rabbi's addressing the whole spectrum of Tzoros. That's how he gets out of the problem. Right? Rashi, again, does attempt to explain Tosfos is Shito. And then there's a term, there's a word Ikar in Rashi. The word Ikar appears in that Lashon that's like Tosfos. But there is machlokes achronim whether that word ikar belongs there or not. So because of that, right, the question whether Rashi really held like Tosfos, or the Rashi holds, right, like the first lashon that he brought down, which was that it's a shinoi here. All right, now according to Rashi, the question here is Kiyomar
was
an
Ezra. Right.
So that doesn't mean, but the ikar. The question is, was the ikar added later by someone else saying that like Tosfos, or the ikar really was lashon Rashi? All right, now. Now, so again, if it's in a case of when you say Shinoi, right, B'Tzoros, so now Rashi assumes that the Shinoi over here is that he only pays Chati Nezek. So you have a Shinoi of Chati, you pay Chati Nezek. The only question is that after three times, does it jump to Nezek Shalem or not when you have a Shinoi in Tzoros? So Rashi's basic assumption here is that, well, it's Chati Nezek to start with. That's how he gets rid of Tosfos' problem. But if you believe, like Rav Ashi tomorrow, that it could be quarter Nezek, then you run yourself into a problem. Tosfos says the basic question is like this. In Tzoros, can Tzoros go from Chati Nezek to Nezek Shalem, even when there's no Shinoi? Does Chati Nezek have this possibility of moving up to Nezek Shalem? So Mar says, Elahad the boy Robo. So what about Robo's question here? Yesh Adol Tzoros or Ein Adol Tzoros? Is there such a concept of making, right, a Muad from Tzoros? Either Rabbanan. So I have an answer for you. For according to Rabbanan, Ein Adol Tzoros. There's no such concept. Either Rabbi Elazar, Yesh Adol Tzoros. Basic answer is very simple over here. So again, according to the way Tosfos is reading the Gemara had a question about Muad in Tzoros, nothing to do with Shinoi. And then the Gemara says, oh, that's my focus, Rabbi Elazar and Chachamim. And then we have Rabbi's exact question. Rabbi says, is there Adol Tzoros? We could have answered it. Rabbi Elazar or Chachamim. That's basically your answer to your question. According to Rashi, you have to say that it was a Shinoi. And then you have to explain over here, right, if there's, when Rava's question is a question in Shinoi B'Tzoros. And when Rava asks, is there Hadol Tzoros or Ein Hadol Tzoros, he's asking in the case of Shinoi. And the Gemara will answer up, it's Rabbanan or Rava Lazar, like the case before with the case of Shinoi B'Tzoros. Gemara says, no. Amar Lacha Rava. Rava will say, Kimi Bayali Lididi Alibid Rabbanan. I'm asking my question according to the Rabbanan. De Poli Galei De Sumkus. That argument on Sumkus. Aval Hocha. Bein the Rabbanan. Bein the Labrazar. Kis Sumkus. Sviru. They both hold like Sumkos. So, right, we have two Rabbanans here, right? We have one Machlokas, which is Sumkos and the Rabbanan. Sumkos believe that Sororotei Nezek Shalem. Chachamim believe that Sororotei Katsi Nezek. Then we have a second Machlokas, which is Rabbi Elazar and the Chachamim. According to this Mark, Fi Sumkos, right, is there Hadah, right, by Sumkos or not? According to Rashi, again, that you have the Shinoi in Sororos, according to Sumkos. Sumkos starts out, Sororos is Nezek Shalem. Alright, then I get the Chazdi Nezek because there was a Shinoi. Now, Rabbi Elazar holds that there is Hadah. When there's Hadah, it jumps back to Nezek Shalem.
It was a Shinoi three times.
Right? Yes. If he did it three times, right? Then it'll jump back to Nezek Shalem according to Rabbi Elazar. And according to the Rabbanon of Rabbi Elazar, it always remains as Chazdi Nezek because it's a Shinoi in Sororos. Right. There is, as Rashi claims, that this is just not a case that the Talmud or that the Torah was addressing. That was a Shinoi that you can't make a Muad in Kofo. You can't make a Muad in Kofo, not in Kofo. So that'll be the way we explain it. Now, Rabbi's question going to this is why can't they, right, only the Shita of the Chachamim? The Shita is not Chachamim. No, but the Chachamim of Tzumkos who says that it's Chazdi Nezek by Tzoros. When we say Chazdi Nezek by Tzoros,
they also hold that there is a case of...
But it's not a case of Shinoi, it's just a regular case of Tzoros. That's my question. Rabbi says, my question is, in a regular case of Tzoros, does it jump to Nezek Shalem, or does it always remain Chazdi Nezek? Is there such concept of Muad by Chazdi Nezek? Or that you have the possibility, like Ravashi says later on, which is that Rabbi's question here is about Shinoi Bechazi Nezek, and that then drops down to a quarter Nezek. When it drops to a quarter Nezek, then when I have a Muad, does it go from a quarter back to a half, or does it always remain a quarter Nezek? That's the other possibility explaining what Rabbi's question is about. Okay, so that's
on those
Rabbanim Sumkos, right? So that's now the Halacha of being the Rabbanim, being the Rabbi Elazar, but Sumkos here though. Right here, according to the Rabbanim, or Rabbi Elazar, they hold like Sumkos is Nezek Shalem. Damar Atzros Nezek Shalem Shalem. The diamond my Amor Rabbanon Chazdi Nezek. Why do the Rabbanon say that you pay Chazdi Nezek here? The Shani below Yais. It's a Shinoi, it's a Tam in Chazdi Nezek in Tzoros, which makes you into Chazdi Nezek. Oblukta, the Rabbi Tarfon and the Rabbanon Kemiflegei. No, and there you have the Machokas here between Rabbi Tarfon and the Rabbanon. Why do we explain Rabbi Elazar and Chachamim being whether it's Keren, the Chazdi Nezek? Right, so now, Imor Dishmaile, the Rabbi Tarfon, Nezek Shalem, Mimishalem. Wait a minute. Now, you explain now that Rabbi Elazar and the Chachamim are arguing in Rabbi Tarfon. We actually tried this before. We explain if they're arguing in Rabbi Tarfon, problem is that, fine, you have Nezek Shalem. But where do you get Migufo? Meaning that we know that the Braisa modifies both Rabbi Elazar and the Chachamim and says that you pay Migufo. So I understand if you say that my focus is about Rabbi Tarfon in Rabbi Tarfon. So now I have Tzroros, according to Sumchus, which is Nezek Shalem. Now I have a Shinoi in that Tzroros. So now, that's called a Tam. Now a Tam in the Chazer and Izak is Machlokas, Rabbi Tarfon and a Chachamim. And the Machlokas Rabbi Tarfon is what do you pay for Tam in a Chazer and Izak? So going to Rabbi Tarfon pay Nezek Shalem, that'll be the position of Rabbi Elazar.
Nezek Shalem in this case would be...
Full Nezek Shalem, because Sumkos, we like Sumkos, and Nezek Shalem is Shalem all the way. And according to the Chachamim, you pay Chazer and Izak like the position of the Chachamim against Rabbi Tarfon, where in Chazer and Izak the Tam... Oh, that's like Sumkos, right? They pay Chazdi Nezek. That fine solves the problem. Machlokas Rabbi Elazar and the Chachamim. But now, what do you do with the Gufo aspect of it? Who says that Rabbi Tarfon believes that when you go into the Chazdi Nezek and you pay Nezek Shalem, that you pay me Gufo? That's the assumption of the Gemara over here. So, Imar Mishmaitle, the Rabbi Tarfon Nezek Shalem. Gufo Mishmaitle. In. Mehechi Maite. La. How does Rabbi Tarfon know that you pay Nezek Shalem in the Chazdi Nezek? He learns it out in Karen Mishut Rabbim. That he learns it out from Karen Rishut Rabim. He has a Kavah Chomer. We'll deal with this later at the Mishnah later on. But he has a Kavah Chomer from Karen Rishut Rabim that Karen in the Chazer Nizak pays Nezek Shalem. So Karen Rishut Rabim pays Migufo. So Dayola Bo Minadin Leos Kinido. When you give a Kavah Chomer, you can't make the Kavah Chomer greater than the din that you're learning it out from. Yes, which would be Chazer Nezek. And then from that he learns the Kavah Chomer to Chazer Nizak. So if Tom the Shuter Rabim is Migufo, then also Tom the Pesach Nezek Shalem in the Chazer Nizak will also be Migufo. Aha, Rabbi Tarfon lays below Dayo. First of all, Rabbi Tarfon doesn't hold of Dayo, so he could learn that from now. That who says that he's limited to what he's learning from? So Mar says he lately Dayo he said the part of Kavah Chomer. No, Rabbi Tarfon doesn't use Dayo when it ruins the Kavah Chomer. Right, about Hekha, the whole mitzvah of Kavah Chomer, it's Lechadayot. Over here, it doesn't ruin the Kavah Chomer. Why? The Kavah Chomer moves it from Chazdi Nezek to Nezek Shalem. And a dayo can leave the gufo in both aspects, so it doesn't ruin the kavakom, and therefore you can leave it in place. So according to this, right, this will be the solution to our brisa. Now, how are we going to explain the brisa? Again, we'll go over it quickly. Our brisa is according to sumkus. The brisa is sumkus, that means when there's tsroros, you pay nezek shalem. Now we had a shinoi in that tsroros. Because we had a shinoi in that tsroros, we're now dealing with a tam, a bit of keren of koko. Keren of koko means that I have, according to the chachamim, I have tam b'shut anizak, that's chazi nezek. I pay half nezek, and the chachamim of Raisu will hold like the chachamim of Rabbi Tarfon, that tam b'shut anizak pays chazi nezek migufo. So that explains their position. Now Rabbi Lazar is going to hold like Rabbi Tarfon. That means that if when I have a tam b'shut anizak, I pay nezek shalem. So that's why Rabbi Lazar says nezek shalem, even though it's a shunoi in Tzvarot, shunoi in Tzumkut, I'm paying nezek shalem because I hold like Rabbi Tarfon. Ah, what about the Mikufo aspect? That's exactly what we just said. That when Rabbi Tarfon learns out his Kavakomer, it means that Tam Rishut and Izak pays Nezek Shalem, but he still pays Mikufo. And that would explain our Brisa. That's the answer that explains our Brisa. So according to that, right, we're only explaining in the position of Sumchus, and therefore we can't come to a conclusion. Right now, we can't come to a conclusion that whether Bat or Mikufo, right, the question, the original question of the Gemara was, does Nezek Tzoros Mikufo owe me Aliyah? Because we don't know, we only know now an answer according to Sumchus. According to Sumchus, everybody agrees that it's Migufo. According to the Chachamim, Katzin is in Tzroros, we never really have an answer as to what their position is. Yeah. Now quickly, we'll just do this question. Now, according to Gufo, by Rabbi Yeshua Dola Tzroros, any Adola Tzroros, is there Zim Muad by Tzroros or not? So Gemara says, the Karen is coming in late, so we make it like Karen. Oh, Zilma told her the regular who. Or maybe because Tzroros is a derivative of regular, you can't have this. Tashma, let's see. Hidus enu muad, beishomim harizim muad. Hidus, takadafa. But again, the Mariel is that dancing for chickens is normal, so that can't be a makhluk. So hidus, hidus. The case where it's hidus and he kicks it out. My love, you don't have a slat of zimne. He did it three times. Ubahaka mitzvah, this is their makhluk. Marta reyish hadah, marta reyin hadah. The question of whether it becomes muad or not is whether after three times he can graduate to being a muad or not. Again, the same way we answer every time, that if Sumchus and Rabbanan is Machlokas, it has nothing to do with Hadah or any other question. Tashma Behema, she feel a Dolin Lisa, or Behema that defecated into a dough, Rabbi Udo Amer, Mishalem Nezek Shalem, pays full Nezek, Abbas Amer, Chatzi Nezek, pays half Nezek. My love, the Kohen, the Alba Slata Zimne, this case where he did this three times. Right, because over here the Gemara is assuming what that this is chazi nezek tzroros, because this is, as Rashi pointed out, the Gemara before said that if a tinach peiros, right, one of the derivatives of regel, told the regel that he dirties up the peiros. So over there, Rashi brought two explanations. One explanation, like the Rebbeinu Chananel, is that he defecated into the fruit. Rashi rejected that explanation over there and says that's tzroros, that's kocho, that the way tinach peiros when he rolls his actual body, because it's that the idea of regel or shein is hanah with your physical body. In that the case, there's always hanah to the animal, but it's also koko. That's what it's called koko here. So now we have these, he's defecating, the gloleim are koko. It hits the stuff below, and the question of whether it's nezek shalem or chati nezek. So the Gemara says, well, that'll be there my focus. He did it three times. Now the question, is there muad or not muad in Tzroro? That'll be the question. They're arguing whether Tzoros is Nezek Shalem or Chati Nezek. That's how you can explain it. Gemara says, Baha Mishunahu, and isn't it an unusual thing to do? The Dachi Le Alma, he had nowhere else to go. He was stuck and he had to defecate in this place, so it wasn't considered a Kishinu.
Why is it making that unusual?
Because they don't normally defecate on top of fruit.
No, the fact that he was stuck. Why is it making that unusual?
Because since he had no choice, then it would be normal for an animal to defecate in that
area. Unusual for an animal would be a predicament.
Well, that's different. That's not the nezek itself is not a shinoi. In fact, the circumstance is a shinoi, but not the nezek. I mean, that's the difference. The difference is the circumstance a shinoi or the nezek a shinoi? Over here. Alright, v'lema. So then, if that's the case, why isn't Rabbi Yehuda halacha kitzumkus? V'lema Rabbi Lazar halacha kirabonus. Rashi over here makes the point of saying that this machlokas that we said before between Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Lazar is a machlokas amoraim. And that's why the Gemara is asking, why don't they say Allah Kusum Kuzlaka Rabbanan? Because there was a Girsa that used to say Rabbi Yehuda, and Rabbi Eleza made it into Machlokas Tanaim. So Machlokas Tanaim, the Gemara never asked, why did one Tana not paskin like another Tana? That's not the question of the Gemara. So Rashi says the Machlokas Amoraim, and the Gemara wants to know that if they have a Machlokas Amoraim, just say, I hold like Sumkuz and you hold like Rabbanan. They want to teach you new dhimbagon. Since the weight of an animal stays in the body for a certain amount of time before it's released, maybe it has a din like Kufo and not Sroros. Kamash Malan, that it still has a din of Sroros. Right, Tashma, the Tani Rami Bar Yechet, the Altana Golashit Roshoda Abir, please, Uchit, stick his head into a glass, glass something, or, you know, bottle, or, flask, Vitoka, and he blows it, makes a loud noise, Vishabrov, and he breaks it, Vishalim Nezat Shalim. Bam Rav Yosef Amar Beirav, Sufs Shit Sanah, and a horse that neighs, a Kamor Shiner, that brays, a donkey that brays, the Shiber at the Kelim, and broke the Kelim, Mishalim, Chatzi Nezek, the face Chatzi Nezek. So there you have a machlokas. Now when they make noise and break a clay, it's a Chatzi Nezek or Nezek Shalim. My love, Tom Dovet, what is him? Their machlokas will be three times. We're going to Mithuli, Marta Vyesha Dov, Marta Reina Dov. Now, Gmar says, no, but Chatzim, no, Pukdu, the Sumchus Rabbanan, Kemithuli, Gay. Right, that is a, what? That's the, right, this is machlokas Sumchus Rabbanan, it's Roro, it's Koko. And it's a question of Nezek Shalim or Chatzim Nezek. Gmar says, Vaham Shunahu. This is a normal way. Animals don't break kelim this way. It says, no, it's Beit Bidrani. It's not unusual because the case where there's food inside, and since there's food inside, it's normal for the animal to go in and make noise while it's eating. Okay, so we'll stop over here.